It's one thing falling in love with a house, picturing yourself moving in and calling it home, and quite another navigating the world of price negotiating, mortgage lenders, and finding the budget that works best for you. An agent who's a Realtor can make understanding that world easier. Realtors have the expertise, access to proprietary data, and tools to help you get from imagining living somewhere to actually doing it. That's the kind of help we can provide. Because that's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Per aspera ad astra, through adversity to the stars. In this episode, Eckhart answers questions about turning adversity into spiritual growth. A mother wants more emotional stability in her life. She says she often wakes up feeling full of energy only to find the next moment she's irritable and exhausted. She's concerned about transmitting her negative moods to her children. Eckhart encourages her to remain alert when the low energy takes hold. He also explains that sustaining consciousness during difficult times is a great art, and this could become an important part of her spiritual practice. Another mom asks, if suffering is necessary for our awakening, then how do we help our children to awaken without causing unnecessary pain? He says every child will encounter some form of suffering, which is part of the human condition. He says as parents, we must use wisdom to decide when to protect our children and when to let them experience life on life's terms. Eckhart shares an ancient Roman aphorism. In Latin, it is per aspera ad astra, which means through adversity, we reach the stars.
Thank you for letting me ask my question. Why is it easier on some days to remain present than others? I recall even as a child waking up in the morning and feeling really good inside, or the opposite. I have studied these feelings throughout my life, and I realize that on days when I awake feeling good, I have amazing amounts of energy and much more present and patient. And those days, just like every song on the radio is a good one. Then suddenly, without anything external happening, the energy seems to be gone and I'm unmotivated, tired, and very unsettled. It is almost like the energy is trapped inside because it seems like it is there. It almost makes me angry at times. And I've tried to be physically active or meditate, focus on the inner body, but it is very hard to get motivated to basically do any of these activities. So this state can take a day or a week or longer, and then eventually I awake feeling great again without anything external happening. So I was wondering if you have any input, any kind of practice.
Right. Thank you. Very interesting. Yes. Well, these fluctuations, I don't believe in your case, what you're describing is not, I'm sure you're aware that there is a condition that is called manic depressive, but I don't think that's probably not what you're describing here. Manic depressive means these are people who experience incredible highs of aliveness, and then incredible lows, whether they can't do anything, can't interact with anybody. And when they experience these highs, I don't think that's the case with you. When they experience these highs, they do sometimes absurd things, like they have several sex partners in one day or two or three days, or they go out and spend all shopping expeditions, spend all their money and exhaust all their credit cards on shopping, spontaneous, completely irrational decisions on their high, and then they're falling back into the low. Now, this doesn't seem to be what you're describing, because what you're saying is that when you feel good, you are also very present. So a person who is manic depressive, they are not present in either state. They are not present in the high state, and they are not present in the low state. But you feel that you are present in the, when you feel good, you're also present. and you're able to appreciate things and everything is fine and you feel more creative and so on.
I have much more patience with people around me and I do appreciate things more. Everything even tastes better. It's absolutely amazing what these days, how much different these days can be. It doesn't go into extreme that I go and have sexual relationships with 20 people, no.
And you don't spend all your money and...
No. It wouldn't be much spending anyways, but...
Right. So again, the important thing is to, when the low states come, which I believe there's probably a physical aspect to it also, the lows. Do you feel physically weaker in the low states? When that comes, the important thing is to stay present even there so that you are able to observe the low as it happens. It may not be as easy perhaps to stay present when you feel good, but when you feel bad, there can still be a presence in the background that knows what's happening to you so that you're not completely overwhelmed by that feeling.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic, 'cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
There are any number of reasons you might consider selling your home. To move closer to family, live within a smaller budget, or just wanting a change of scenery. Whatever your reasons, having to figure out all the various housing market trends in your area may not be what you signed up for. That's where an agent who is a Realtor comes in. Realtors have the expertise to help you find the right price and navigate the process to sell your home in a way that's right for you. That's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
It's not uncommon for people, as the even people who are already on the path of awakening, when they feel physically not so well or have a pain here or there, they lose presence because their physical bodies becomes weaker, and then they lose their sense of presence. It seems that there's not enough energy left to be present. That's what they believe. And then, of course, it's also very common to lose presence in other situations, like when you drink alcohol. Many people can easily lose presence then, especially if you're not deeply rooted in presence already. And if you are deeply rooted in presence, you wouldn't want to drink a lot of alcohol. You might enjoy a little bit here and there, but you wouldn't want to be drunk, because it would be your normal state would be so much better and more beautiful. The relief that people seek through alcohol from their unpleasant, painful inner states. The important thing is the awareness needs to still be there in both situations, both when you feel good, when you feel great. And I don't know how that is related, the low cycles, whether that is related to your menstrual cycle. It's sometimes related in women that they go into more unconscious cycle when that approaches. So it could, I don't know whether if there's a relationship with that. That is often a challenging time for women where they are drawn into unconsciousness. But when you know that, then you can know it's approaching and you can stay particularly conscious so that you can sustain consciousness even when the low comes. And that is the great art. This is part of, perhaps, important part of your spiritual practice, is to sustain the awareness even as the physical energy diminishes and mentally you don't feel as clear, but you can still, are you still able to observe that? Perhaps you can continue even there. Can you continue to practice inner body awareness even when you feel low? That may be helpful. Another interesting question is, when you feel low, Does that change your thinking? In the low state, does the nature of your thoughts change? Do the thoughts become more negative, or does it not particularly affect the nature of your thoughts?
It does affect the thoughts, yes.
Now, that's a very important point, because it affects your thought, which means you lose consciousness, you lose presence, and your mind gets taken over by this emotional state that rises into your mind and controls your thinking. So that's why it's extremely important that you make that the main area of your spiritual practice, is there, so that remain alert as the low state comes. I don't know how the shift happens from the high to the low, whether it is very gradual, whether it's overnight. So you suddenly wake up in the morning and the high is gone and you're down low. You're nodding, so perhaps it often happens overnight. So in the morning, you're somebody else. And that's so in the morning, you're somebody else in a very low state, different kinds of thoughts get go through your head. And are you able to observe your inner state at that time, especially there? Catch it at the beginning, when you wake up in the morning and you realize, oh, there it is, there it is. That's an important thing. And then you stay conscious. If you don't catch it at the beginning, it's a bit harder to awaken at a later stage when it has taken possession of you completely, including your thinking. When it has taken possession of you completely, you may not be able to get your awareness back unless the awareness power has already grown in you. But if you catch it at the beginning, it will be easier to remain the witnessing presence can remain there even as the state continues to be there. And as the witnessing presence arises, it is less likely that the low state will use your thinking, will control your mind and your thoughts. And if it can no longer control, then you just feel it on an emotional, physical level. But it no longer, because there's an awareness there, so it no longer, and if it does attempt to control your thoughts, you from the awareness will recognize that this is what's happening, that the low state is trying to control your thinking, move into your control your mind. And so there's the awareness that it's, and you say, oh, it's trying to control your mind. And it can't do that if you're aware of it. If you're aware of it, and then at least it can no longer control your thinking. All you're left with then is what you feel at that moment. And if it can no longer control your thinking, it can no longer feed on your thoughts, because that state, I believe it, in our terminology, I believe that state is actually part of your pain body, because not every pain body is angry. There are many other kinds of pain body. That it takes you over. And if it cannot feed on your thoughts, it will be less intense and more short-lived, because it can't renew itself by feeding on your thoughts. So it means the periods, the lower periods will become shorter and less intense through the awareness practice. And that's only the intermediate step. They become shorter and less intense. And then gradually you will only experience some form of low state it'll be mostly physical, a low state without low consciousness. And you can then accept that sometimes you experience lower states. Every human on some level does that physically. You cannot always be physically at a physical peak all the time. So sometimes that happens, but that's all that is. It will no longer obscure your awareness. Does it make sense the way I described how you approach it?
It does make a very, very much sense. The stuff that worries me, I'm okay not feeling okay at times, but I am a mom and I don't want that to pass over to my family, to my children, to my partner, because yeah. I don't think it's fair. So I was just wondering how could I deal with it myself somehow so they don't have to deal with me being this way.
Yes. Well, in the meantime, until you become better at the practice, what would help is to tell them when you notice I'm in that slow state today, so just wanted you to know, and then they can know. That's already, at least now they know, and then perhaps they are more careful in the way that what they say to you, or they leave you alone, or whatever they do. You explain to them that sometimes you have that low state, and it's not really you, it's not who you really are, and so, and then just practice. Catch it early on when it arises, and then that's your practice.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
It's one thing falling in love with a house, picturing yourself moving in and calling it home, and quite another navigating the world of price negotiating, mortgage lenders, and finding the budget that works best for you. An agent who's a Realtor can make understanding that world easier. Realtors have the expertise, access to proprietary data, and tools to help you get from imagining living somewhere to actually doing it. That's the kind of help we can provide. Because that's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
And I believe that will also be helpful for many other people, because you're not the only one who has the. Many people have similar experience, similar conditions in their life. So that's the fluctuation of moods. Many, many people experience that. And the challenge is to stay present, both with the high and the low moods. Isn't it wonderful? They sort all the difficult areas in your life are actually always your main area of practice. And so then you can be grateful, if not right in the moment, but retrospectively, certainly you'll be grateful for the difficult parts of your life, the adversity in your life, because that's what brings about the awakening of consciousness. Per aspera ad astra, said the Romans, per aspera ad astra, through adversity to the stars. Let's have one more question.
Hi, Eckhart.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you for having us. My question was, if suffering is our spiritual teacher and leads to awakening, how can we help our children awaken without giving them a bad childhood? Do children need to suffer deeply to awaken? And I work with schools, and so I just try to translate your teachings to like a secular way of talking. And I just want to know like your thoughts on the most important tools that we can give children to prepare them for the challenges.
Right. Oh, yes. Good question. Thank you. Living in this world, some form of suffering will come to every child, of course, in one form or another. Some form of suffering will come that is inevitable. For a parent or an educator, what is required is wisdom. And through wisdom, you will know to what extent it is advisable or good to protect the child from suffering, and to what extent you need to allow the child to suffer. And then that's many parents, understandably, because they love the child, they have the desire to protect the child from all suffering. And that would include, when they do that, even protecting the child from consequences of bad or dysfunctional behavior, to protect the child from all these things. As you know, the way we are bringing up children is very much different from the way it used to be 50 years ago, 100 years ago. Safety has become extremely important in people's minds, not only with reference to children, but also, of course, with reference to children. Safety is very important in many parts of, well, I know the United States, in not everywhere in the United States, but in many parts, it's almost, I think, illegal to allow your child to play outside in the street. Whereas in the past, when I was a child, we would always be outside and completely unsupervised. And it was in a city, it wasn't a village, playing completely unsupervised for hours on end, going on our bikes, exploring. It was normal. So there's now a tendency to overprotect a child, partly due to the fact that most parents only have one or two children, so they become very precious. If you only have one rather than six, seven, or eight. My dad was the ninth child in a Catholic family. Two of his siblings died at an early age, but he still lived with six or seven brothers and sisters. And of course, it wasn't possible to closely supervise all these children, so they were free to do what they wanted to do. So there's a risk involved. Wisdom is required to see to what extent do you restrict the freedom of movement of your child for the sake of safety. That requires wisdom. If you restrict the child's movement too much for the sake of safety, you also impede their development as finding inner resources of strength and resilience, and to find inner resources that arise when you're faced with a challenge. When a human is faced with a challenge, inner resources are generated in order to face the challenge. So if you want to protect the child from all possible sources of suffering, then you'd also have to remove as many challenges as possible, because any challenge may lead to some degree of suffering. There's another reason why there's overprotectiveness and the extreme focus on safety, but that's a longer subject that I don't need to go into now. I perceive a shift that has happened in the collective consciousness in the past 40, 50 years, a shift from predominantly, I believe everybody understands yin and yang, masculine and feminine principles, that the world exists in between the polarity, if it was the yin and yang. Until 50 years ago or so, yang was the predominant principle that governed especially the education of children, discipline, punishment. When I was at school, corporal punishment was totally normal. Things that nowadays a teacher would be taken to court for and lose their job was normal behavior. And students were quite disciplined. I mean, there was sometimes trouble, but there was authoritarian, overly controlling children, not allowing them sufficient freedom for creativity and movement for the sake of control and discipline and so on. And that has shifted now, of course, from the yang prominated. A significant part of the population has adopted a much more yin attitude towards life. The feminine values have become much more important. Compassion towards people, empathy with people, not offending people because of their race or sexuality, or but to have to empathy so that we don't hurt people. It's they're all feminine qualities that have come in. And that's been a good thing and a necessary thing, but no good thing, more of a good thing is an even better thing. And more than that, it doesn't remain good continuously. Too much of a good thing, it becomes a bad thing. Then it shifts into its opposite. This is why yin and yang are intertwined. And that's a long story. But as regards education of children, it's now predominantly focused on safety. Like a mother would be most concerned with a child's safety. And the dad who would represent the yang, would be concerned with, okay, let's do this. Let's go climb this mountain. Let's do it. And they must just be careful. You must be careful. Don't do some. Of course, the roles could be mixed. It could be that the man has more yin than the woman. So in that case, it could be mixed. But there's yin and yang. So the yin is very strong emphasis on safety, because up to a point that is good. And if you go beyond that point, it becomes bad and restrictive. So again, in many schools, the famous thing, they do sports and all kinds of things. In many schools now, because of this empathy that you have, you don't want a child to feel bad. It's a wonderful thing. You don't want the child to feel bad. It is wonderful. And that's a yin thing, which means, the famous saying, everybody gets a trophy. You just need to participate and get a trophy. So nobody needs to feel bad about themselves. But you don't get challenged that much anymore, because we don't want anybody to feel bad, because if you challenge them too much, they will feel bad if they can't meet the challenge. It's a very complex and long story, but we have now going to the other extreme, where we try to remove as many challenges as possible from children so that they don't suffer. And some parents almost succeed, because they pamper the child so much. Whatever the child wants, he or she is given immediately. Every possible source of suffering is removed. And if you could do that, by the time the child reaches adolescence, the child's ego would be dreadful. A very unpleasant ego would have developed in the absence of all challenges. Never had to experience the consequences of behavior. No behavior, no matter how dysfunctional, had any consequences. And then they become an adult, and then it gets really difficult. Sometimes it is not possible to remove challenges. If you were successful in removing all challenges from your child, that absence of challenges would turn into the adult's greatest and most difficult challenge, the fact that he or she was never challenged in childhood by anything, overprotected by their parents. So wisdom is required to see how much you allow a child to have a challenge, and even to suffer by not being able to meet the challenge, and to what extent you remove a challenge from a child in order to protect them. Wisdom is required so that you have a balance, the middle way, as the Buddha called it, as Socrates said, nothing in excess, not an excess of giving the child too many challenges, so the child is continuously struggling and not being able to enjoy life, and trying to remove all challenges from the child. The middle way between protecting the child and yet allowing enough freedom to make mistakes also, that's part of it. The child needs to make mistakes and realize the consequences of making mistakes. It's all part of the evolution of consciousness. But suffering is inevitable no matter what you do, and it's not bad. That's you have to know, to bring a child up, it requires enormous wisdom. And of course, not many parents have that. But it does require so that you can be more or less in the middle. Yes, we grow through suffering, and every child will suffer. And if a child is overprotected, that will cause them more suffering when they become an adult, because they are not prepared for life. So whatever you do, the child will suffer. And yet, of course, you don't want the child to take absurd risks, unnecessary risks. Drugs are a huge problem these days. You want to get a child away from that. That's a big thing. That's not to allow the child so much freedom that they indulge in drug taking and all that, if that is to be avoided at all cost. It was 20 years ago I was going for a walk. It was the first time I realized the safety thing. There's a school nearby, and I walked past the school. It was just the beginning of the vacation period, and there's a big signboard outside. It says, summer break starting on that date, and have a good summer. And underneath in big letters, it said, be safe. And I thought, the main thing was be safe about the summer, be safe. I thought, is that the main thing? I imagined a student coming back after summer break and the teacher asking, well, what did you do during the summer break? And students, well, I took your advice. We decided not to go to the mountains because the risk where we could have broken limbs, or we didn't climb the mountain. In fact, we stayed at home most of the time because life is so dangerous these days. We didn't go swimming. No, that's too dangerous. Can't go swimming. So we were really safe, didn't go anywhere really safe. So I thought, of course, safety is important. It's important not to take unnecessary risk. But it's the main thing to be safe. Why not say, have a wonderful time, but also be safe? Look, that makes sense. Have an adventure even, but don't take unnecessary risks. That's the middle way. Now, any adventure implies the possibility of something going wrong, because it's not the possibility of something going wrong. It's not an adventure. It's a boring trip. Any adventure means something might go wrong. So there is an element of risk there. And yet, no human should take unnecessary or absurd risks. That's also true. And again, we come the middle way between the two, between the extremes. So for a parent, it's to know that you need to be wise. How much do you allow a child to suffer the consequences of their mistakes, for example, not immediately remove the consequences? And to what extent do you remove suffering from your child? That's only in the situation you can know by being aware, because wisdom arises through awareness. By being aware, you will know what the right action is, right? Either one way, you go towards safety, or you go towards the challenge. And challenge always implies the risk of suffering. And if you go too much into safety, you also create suffering eventually. So you can't get away from it. And that's part of the evolution of human consciousness. Thank you. So perhaps a moment of stillness. Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
I'm Oprah Winfrey, and you've been listening to Eckhart Tolle, Essential Teachings, the podcast. You can follow these essential teachings on Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you haven't yet, go to Spotify and follow this podcast. Join us next week for more enlightened teachings from Eckhart Tolle. Thank you for listening.
It's one thing falling in love with a house, picturing yourself moving in and calling it home, and quite another navigating the world of price negotiating, mortgage lenders, and finding the budget that works best for you. An agent who's a realtor can make understanding that world easier. Realtors have the expertise, access to proprietary data, and tools to help you get from imagining living somewhere to actually doing it. That's the kind of help we can provide. Because that's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.